Ghosts are everywhere.
Hello.
Hello.
Wow. We're not here alone today.
We're not here alone today. We're extra not alone. It's not like we're just like in my apartment and there's one other person that happens to be here.
Or like a pet. There is a pet in this room, which is pretty cool.
There's a pet. Oh, yeah. There's a turtle.
There's a turtle. Everyone saw in the back corner there. Did everyone turn around? Everyone who's listening at home, don't turn around. It won't be behind you unless it is. And that's pretty scary. There's a turtle amongst us named Jean-Claude. Because we are at the Attic Studio in Toronto, everybody.
Everybody say hi to Jean-Claude.
Hi, Jean-Claude. You didn't all do it.
Hi, Jean-Claude.
Thank you.
This is audience participation. You're supposed to say hello to Jean-Claude.
Wow, we practiced that bit and everything. That really went well. In case you don't know who we are, I'm Carly.
And I'm Cecilia.
And we're surprised that you are here because you would have already known that this is a show called Ghosts Are Everywhere.
It is.
That's right.
Yeah.
The podcast where we sit down and probably talk about ghosts.
Probably.
Yeah, the asterisk, you know, beside probably, because it doesn't always happen for a ghost podcast, which is pretty
probably
surprising.
Like, doesn't that work as the asterisk?
Yeah, you put the asterisk, and that's why it's probably in tiny print underneath it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think today we're going to talk about ghosts.
I definitely think today we're going to talk about ghosts,
We're
baby.
At least going to talk about the ghosts on your outfit.
Thank you.
Because
thank you.
I didn't get the memo that I was supposed to be wearing highlighter colors.
I'm so sorry, except I'm not sorry at all. I got dressed today. I didn't know that, I don't know why I didn't know or think about that this would really glow under a blacklight vibe. And then I set the lights in this room personally to basically be a blacklight. So you're welcome. Because I'm now a highlighter. I'm like that scene in Beetlejuice, but as a dress. You know?
Yeah.
Which we love.
She's a worm.
It's showtime. It is.
It's showtime.
Yeah, no, this dress is pretty cool. It's a Hamilton designer, and that's all. You'll see it on the Instagram. Check out the Instagram.
Yeah, we'll take some pics.
And everyone here is enjoying it for themselves.
We'll show the virtual people, the people who are
that's
not
right.
in this room. Will
the
be
virtual
to be
people.
The virtual
Correct.
People.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got a fun show ahead for you. I'm going to tell stories. Cecilia's going to tell stories. It's going to be about Toronto, the city that we're all in. Some of us live here. Some of us basically live here, and some of us don't live here at all, and that's nice.
Some of us live here, and some of us just live nearby.
Yeah, at least in this room, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And to our listeners at home, you know it. You have probably feelings about it, and if you don't, maybe you will after today.
Now you'll learn.
Now, we love to learn, and so we're going to teach you today all about at least two ghosts.
Two locations in Toronto.
Mm-hmm. At least two.
Just
stay tuned to find out more.
I am talking about one. Are you talking
about... Well, we'll have to wait and see about mine.
Goodness.
I don't want to give it away just yet.
So surprising. Will she talk about one location? Will she talk about multiple locations?
Only time will tell,
baby.
And then after that, we have a really special guest amongst us.
A very exciting guest.
Who we will debut later. Mm-hmm. So... to the edge of your seats and wait for that.
Or sit comfortably,
I guess. I'm sitting at the edge of my seat because I'm so excited. But that's also not because my chair is broken. Only Cecilia's
chair
is broken. But
oh, it makes a good noise. Should I like bring the microphone?
Wow, you should show it to the microphone. Show the microphone the sound.
No, I don't want to mess up my setup. This
so
microphone,
faint.
This microphone is not, it doesn't have a good cord.
It's precarious.
As soon as I move it, it's like, it disconnects.
That's fair. It needs a solid foundation.
It does.
Much
don't,
like we all
don't
do.
We all.
Don't we all?
Don't we all?
Don't we all? Are we not all but a precarious snowball microphone at the end of the day?
Speaking of solid foundations, should I tell you my story?
Oh! She's getting right into it. I wish you would.
Does everyone else wish I would?
They wish you would. We wish you would. We wish you would.
Even more enthusiastic than you. I appreciate this.
Okay, well, I have to do it every week. They only have to do it once.
Squeaky too. I'm ready.
You'd think it's a rocking chair by that sound. It's really not. It's just a regular
chair. It's just a regular chair. Alright.
Alright.
So, today, I'm talking about a location.
Wait!
What?
You have gone way too fast. We have forgotten our favorite and sacred live show tradition.
What is our favorite and sacred live show tradition?
Hot corner!
Okay, yes.
Okay?
Okay.
Pretend she didn't just start.
I didn't just start. I just was talking about starting.
Great. Pretend she's still doing that. Because now, it's time for our favorite section of the show. If you just give us a second. Just to have Hat Corner.
We'd really appreciate it. Thank you very much. Over that whole time.
Oh, mine wasn't. I flopped mine over to match yours at last second.
Okay.
Well, we had to get our witch hats out because this is, of course, the Halloween tour.
This is the Halloween special.
That's right.
We are in the spookiest month of the year.
Yep.
It is finally fall weather today.
It's like Miss Weather herself said. We'll throw the girls some weather.
Miss Weather.
Thank you, Miss Weather. Thank you to Miss Weather for this nice, crispy day where I was cold in my shorts. That's good. Now I'm feeling good. Sorry.
Now you're feeling good.
Now I'm no longer on the edge of my seat. I'm just okay, on the middle
now we
of
can,
my seat.
Now we can settle.
And now we can be settled. My cape is behind my elbows. That's how you know I finally settled. Okay.
Okay. All
right.
Okay, now can I tell you about
Yeah, I would love it if you did, location? Yeah,
okay,
really
so
love.
This is actually a location that we have discussed on the podcast before.
What?
Back in 2019?
Oh, before the year you like, started with a 20.
A way back, wow. Before the COVID.
As people say, in the before
so
times?
In the before times.
Whoa.
I told you about this place, so I'm choosing to tell you about it again because we are in the after times and things are different.
Things are so different.
And we've grown and we've learned, and so I'm going to tell you about this ghost again.
Okay, great. We love it.
And I'm sure you don't
We're
remember
excited.
Anything.
I guarantee you, I don't remember,
anything. So we are going to talk about, we as in me and my ghost mug, are going to be talking about the Gibraltar Point Lighthouse.
Oh, hell yeah, baby!
So,
bringing lighthouses back to the podcast.
Bringing lighthouses back.
Yes!
Classic. Lighthouses are always haunted.
That's the one rule. Honestly, I thought we were running out of lighthouses because we've done so many, but we could just do some again.
We're not running out of lighthouses.
We will never run out of lighthouses!
They're not going anywhere.
That's right.
The lighthouse is located on the Toronto Islands.
Delightful.
Just past Hanlon's Point. So if you're at the nude beach and you're having fun, you can go for a little walk and find some ghosts.
Hell yeah.
So
the
it's
best
like
two
the far west side of the islands. It was built way back in 1808, back when Toronto was still called York.
Great.
At the time, it was just beginning to be settled. It had been the home of the Iroquois people for a long-ass time. But then European settlers were like, this is ours now. And they started to move in. They started to see the area as an important hub in what was then called Upper Canada. It was a strategic shipping, war, and agriculture spot.
Don't mind me. I know how to do
what,
this.
What was that?
Nothing. For me to know and no one else to find
out. It's a secret. So it's like when you're passing notes in class and you're like, can you please read it?
Could you read it to the class? Could you read it to the class? You know what? I will read it to the class. Mod cloth fall for new.
Oh.
New prints, hues, and styles.
Very exciting.
Yeah. Okay. So I needed to know that right
well,
now.
Well, that was not enough.
Well, the weather is changing. I need to have new clothes.
You do need new prints and styles.
I need new prints. Look at this print. no other prints in my closet now rival this. I need
this
more.
This is true. You need to try and rival that print.
That's right. I'm leveling up to this level.
To very spooky.
Highlighter level.
Very spooky.
Highest level.
So, the important settler guys at the time, the, like, British government in New York, wanted to build a lighthouse so they could guide ships into the harbor. The harbor into Toronto has, like, islands and, like, sand shoals and lots of stuff like that, so it's, you gotta kind of dodge all that to come in. So they wanted to kind of build a way for ships to come in safely. They built a 52-foot-tall lighthouse with 2-meter-thick stone walls. It was first lit
Wait,
on...
Wait, 2 meters
thick? 2 meters thick. It's gotta withstand the elements.
Work. That's all I have to say for that. I mean, that's really doing
it's gotta be it's gotta be real solid to hold that light.
That light's that heavy? It needs 2 meter thick walls?
I don't know. I'm not an engineer.
You should find out. You should become an engineer. And then you can know.
Carly.
Okay, I don't want you
to
do that.
I am not
actually.
A woman in stone.
Yeah. No, we're a woman in spirit.
It was first lit on September 30th, 1808, making it now the oldest remaining lighthouse on the Great Lakes and the second oldest lighthouse in Canada.
Ooh!
But the first oldest one has been, like, renovated a bunch since they built it. It's, like...
So is that actually
is
original?
Is it actually that old?
It's, like, not actually, like, the
original. Technically old. But this one...
It's on paper old. It's not 2 meters thick walls old.
I mean, it might be. It's on the ocean, so it probably is at least 2 meters thick. It's got that...
Is it in, like, Nova Scotia?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They always got one on us.
No.
Wow.
I mean,
when it comes to lighthouses, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. Us being the lighthouse admirers.
Yes,
of the mainland.
Oh, we should have had, like, lighthouse keeper hats.
I didn't know you were telling this story. I would have definitely gotten us, like, keeper hats.
I should have gone shopping for lighthouse keeper garb. What if I dressed like a lighthouse keeper? What if I just, like,
that was
showed up
say?
In this? But then, as soon as I was going to tell my story, I just, like, went behind the thing and started.
Oh, my God, everyone. Before our very eyes, Cecilia is doing a costume change. What? Oh, my gosh, you do have your lighthouse garb on. Oh, my gosh, it's like you planned this so... Oh! Let's hear it for Cecilia.
And her lighthouse garb. This is her lighthouse. Lighthouse keepers can wear anything. It's 2023.
You know what? That's true. I think that's so true.
Mm-hmm. Right. More about the lighthouse. Back when it was built, it was located just like 25 feet from the shore so that you could see the light from everywhere. Now, because like the sand has evolved and the water has...
Evolved? Is that
back,
light?
I'm not a woman in stone.
Oh, sorry. I forgot. Okay.
Something about the sand moving.
Great. Moves around.
There's like way more land between the lighthouse and the water now, so it's like set way back.
Gotcha.
There's a bunch of trees. It's kind of
so it's not helpful for lighthousing.
It's not helpful for lighthousing. And it's pretty hidden, so even if you like go find it, you have to kind of like look for it a little bit.
You like almost need a lighthouse to find the lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Are you sad for the lighthouse?
Yeah! Like everything ends!
It was a star back in the 1800s, and now it's just hidden in the forest.
That is so sad.
It happens to us all.
It's so sad.
We all get swallowed by the trees. Eventually.
Hidden.
It'll happen to you.
I will look exactly like this. Wow.
Surrounded by 2 feet.
Surrounded by the smallest trees a person can see.
Yeah.
Because I'm short. Okay. A hedge. A hedge will do it.
Just a hedge.
Doesn't even need a forest.
A simple hedge.
Just a simple hedge. A bush.
When it was opened, the lighthouse was also accompanied by the lighthouse keeper's cottage.
Love that.
Which was just like a little wood cabin. Not super impressive. It's not there anymore, so you can't see it. The lighthouse served for 150 years.
That's a long-ass time for a lighthouse.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. It worked hard.
Aww.
But then in the 1950s, in 1956, new automated lighthouses were built along the shore, and it was decommissioned.
Boo.
And it was taken over by the city, who turned it into a historical site.
Boo. Yay!
Yay.
Yay.
Technology.
Technology. Boo! Saving old shit. Yay!
Don't worry, it's still there. You can still go look at it.
That's great.
You can't really go in unless there's, like, a tour of it, which happens once in a while.
For, yeah, like open doors, yeah, or whatever.
Doors open and, yeah, stuff like that. So you can't just like walk up to it and like walk in.
I mean, you could. You probably shouldn't.
It's frowned upon.
Yeah, that's right. You could do anything. You should not. That's what I've learned.
We don't condone it.
Yeah, don't do that.
We hear it Ghosts Are Everywhere say, don't just walk into
anywhere.
Anywhere.
Especially if it's a lighthouse.
Well, unless there's like a big open sign
and says, welcome, says, like, please welcome, enter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, then, well, I mean, it depends. Because what if it's scary looking?
If there's still a big open sign and it says, please enter.
You were saying, do it anyways. Yeah. All right. We are not responsible for your downfall, thank you.
Be careful. Just use your brain. The lighthouse is, Carly, you're going to, yeah, be really surprised,
I'm
by this.
I'm really excited.
Haunted.
Oh! I was taking a sip of my water. I was not ready for that one.
You're going to do like a spit take. I told you you weren't ready for it. Why
I was
you take
about
a
to do a spit take, but I don't want to spit
all
on
over
my laptop. Uh-huh. And I also didn't tell them this was a splash zone, so oh, yeah, I wasn't ready for that. I thought about it. That was me thinking
you
about
could've.
It.
You could have just like right into the audience.
Done just a really bad spit take that was just like into my own lap.
Yeah. So it's haunted.
Okay, great.
It gained its haunted reputation just 7 years after it was built. In 1815.
That's hardly any time for anything to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Seven years?
That's what?
Young! That's grade young!
Grade what?
Grade young!
It is grade young.
It's grade young.
It's grade young. It's I was going to be like, it's grade... I don't fucking know.
I know, that's why. It's why you didn't answer it. Grade young.
It's grade young.
Mm-hmm.
So it became haunted in 1815, or became what? Considered haunted, when its that's first amazing. Lighthouse keeper, John Paul Rattlemuller, was murdered.
Oh, I guess there wasn't enough time for things to happen! I take it back!
Murders happen fast.
Yeah, they can really be really fast.
Sometimes
it's like that. Don't murder.
Murder most foul.
Most foul. Mm. Was there a bird involved?
A bird.
Most foul.
No. Different foul. Mm. There are many versions of the story. It's an old-ass story. It develops over time.
A classic. A tale, a spun of yarn.
A ghostly classic. So yeah. A lot of the details we do actually know.
Great. That's great.
Guy,
we don't always get that.
His history was pretty, like, written down. He wasn't, mm-hmm, like, some mysterious weirdo who showed up to guard the lighthouse.
Oh, I wish he was.
So we do know about him.
Okay.
So he, John Paul, I was going to be like, he has the same name as the turtle, but the turtle's
close.
Name is Jean-Claude.
Halfway.
So close.
John Paul, is that you? Swim away if it is.
Maybe they just got his name slightly wrong,
yeah,
and his ghost is actually in the turtle.
In the turtle.
He's aquatic.
He's swimming away. I told you what he is. Look. He's going in his little... He's going... Ooh.
Maybe it's him.
Maybe it's him.
The ghost is in the turtle. So we know that John Paul was born in 1763 in Ansbach. Ansbach. I can't
speak. Try again.
German. It's in Germany.
Give it one more,
he
though.
Was born in Germany.
Okay,
in
work.
Ansbach. Ansbach.
Yeah, I bet it is.
On spot.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, that's great.
When he was a teenager, he moved to the UK.
Okay.
So the names get easier from here.
Great.
He worked as a servant in the household of the Duke of Gloucester.
Oh!
And then for the Duke
you
of
say Gloucester.
Kent.
In
1799, he accompanied the Duke of Kent on a trip to Halifax. And he got to Halifax, and he's like... Pretty cool, I like it here.
He was like, look at that.
Yeah.
That's different.
Yeah, he saw an old ass lighthouse. He's like, it's a cool lighthouse.
He's like, I like that that's very
maybe,
tall and by the sea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he decided to stay, and he was hearing good things about this new city called York. So he's like, I'm going to go there. I'm going to try and get some land to start a farm.
Oh, okay,
so
yeah, classic.
So he shows up in 1804, but was having a hard time getting farmland, so instead he opened a school to teach, like, German students English.
Okay. He said, what skills do I have?
German. English.
That's all I got.
Done.
Sold.
Then he started to work as a translator for government officials, because he was like, he'd work for the royal family.
That's right, he was kind of up there.
He was kind of up there, he had his connections, so he started working for the government as a translator, because German?
Because German, English, and he said, I'm ready.
I know this.
Yeah, sign me up.
And then when it was time for the government to pick a lighthouse keeper, there was like, this guy, he speaks German.
Speaks German?
He speaks English.
He's been to Nova Scotia. He's a triple threat, babe.
He's our lighthouse keeper.
Okay.
So he becomes a lighthouse keeper at Gibraltar Point on July 14th, 1808.
Wow.
So he had to turn the lamp on, and he had to turn the lamp off.
Oh.
And he had to alert the city whenever a large boat was entering, and he had to, like, fly different flags for different things.
That's
and,
cool.
Like, yeah, he was.
How did he alert the city? Did he just yell?
I don't know.
Phones?
I like read that. I was like, did he have to like run?
Send a pigeon.
I'm run not sure. Room. Send a boy.
Was there a boy?
Was there a boy?
Come here, boy.
Probably
sent a boy.
Probably sent a boy.
If I were him, I'd send a boy.
Then the boy had to like go in a rowboat across to the mainland and be just like, there's a boat.
He had a little hat. You know, he had a great hat, but it was the smaller version. Yeah, it was like the smaller version, but just like. A little more down because he's little and he rows.
Yeah.
And he rows. He can't see where he's going.
But he knows.
He knows the way.
He knows.
Oh, justice for the boy. We need the
Or he
the
took
boy.
maybe he took the tiki taxi.
Oh. He would have.
Something lighthouse.
Yeah.
Rattlemuller. He's German.
Okay.
He shows up in Canada, and the one thing that's missing in Canada.
What?
It's good beer.
I mean, sure.
It's the early 1800s.
Yeah.
He's like, they just aren't doing it here like they are
he's like, I'm,
in Germany.
I'm German. Please help me.
And he's like, maybe I'll start making some beer. And also, he's not making that much money as a lighthouse keeper, so he's like,
right.
Okay, this could be a source of income.
He's really a Renaissance man.
He is doing it
he's
all.
He's doing it all.
He's truly doing it all.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Good for him.
He's
literally working.
He is working.
So hard.
So he's making beer.
We love that.
He's keeping
He's a
the
brewer
light
now.
He's
saying,
turning the light on.
Tis I.
He's a brewer. And this was the war during the War of 1812.
That's right.
So when it starts, he is very close to like Fort York.
Yeah.
There's a lot of soldiers around. So mm-hmm. he's brewing beer and the soldiers are like,
this guy.
I like this
we
guy.
We like this guy.
We can go buy beer from this guy.
He's our guy.
So they end up kind of like coming and hanging out and buying beer from him and drinking his beer.
That's fun.
And he becomes friends with soldiers.
I'm scared.
Fun for now.
I'm scared. Don't point at me like that very menacingly.
Really, these are British soldiers. Do we trust them?
Never, but we like the idea of camaraderie. We love going, comings and goings.
We love hanging out.
We love not being alone in a lighthouse all the time. We are not Robert Pattinson, you know what I mean? Like,
he
you don't love that?
He does. He's not alone. I mean, he's not exactly...
Yeah, because he has the boy.
He's on the Trono Island. He has the boy. He does eventually get a wife and has a kid.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
So she's... They're there, too.
Okay, great.
They're also living
in a little
lighthouse.
He's
got his little lighthouse family. He's got great. The British soldiers drinking in his home.
Okay, well, I like that less now. Now that I know he has other people around, I don't really need him to have the soldier thing, you know?
Yeah. So he was getting some good beer, and it's also the War of 1812, so the stakes of his job are raising, too, because he has to, like, watch out for, like, American ships.
Sure. It took everything in me not to say, up the flagpole, like, stakes. He's raising stakes of meat up the flagpole.
I was picturing, like, stakes, like... You stick a vampire. Like,
also, he raises that up the flagpole for Halloween.
Yeah, spooky.
Mm-hmm. Sure, the stakes are higher.
The stakes are higher. He's
got to
make sure,
the harbor.
He's got to make sure that all these British ships get into the harbor.
Right.
I mean, also because it's a lighthouse, it's guiding other ships too. So there is a story of like the lighthouse also marked where the American ships should go and like. Burn down.
I mean, that tracks. That's what a lighthouse is. You can't just turn it off and on
you
all day every day.
You
don't have technology.
You can't avoid that. You're going to also guide the American ships exactly where they want to be going.
That's right.
So he's working hard. He's brewing beer.
Sure.
He unfortunately did not survive to the end of the war.
Well, that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Bummer.
He disappeared. A lot of stories say that he disappeared. It's unclear if he actually disappeared or if he was just, like, murdered and found murdered and they were like, he's dead. The newspapers at the time pretty much immediately were like, he's been murdered. So they knew he was murdered. There was no, like, where did he go?
There's no, like, the man has vanished. What do we do?
It wasn't mysterious.
No. It wasn't a game of Clue. It was giving.
Mysterious.
I think we know.
A lot of listicles will be like, the mysterious disappearance. Sure. And then you read more and you're like, this was...
And you're like, no, he didn't disappear. He just got murdered.
He got killed.
Yeah.
So the story goes that on the night of January 1st, 1815,
yeah,
he was hanging out.
Sure.
Couple soldiers come by.
Classic. Sounds like a regular day.
It's like the... It's New Year's Day, so maybe still partying.
Sure.
Or just want to party some more.
Sure.
So they come by. They're, like, drinking with him, get some beer. There's a few different versions of what happened. Maybe they, like, showed up drunk, and he's like, I don't really want to give you more beer. Like, it's enough.
Right.
There's also a story that they just, like, got in an argument and they decided to kill him. There's also a version of it that they were, like, drinking the beer. It's a cold day and the beer starts to, like, freeze. And they're, like, pissed because they assumed that he was watering it down or, like, it was low alcohol content or something. And
that's not how beer works. Some beer can freeze.
Beer can freeze, but,
not
like...
Not, like... I mean, if you're, like... If it's, like... Through the rafters beer, it's not going to freeze.
I accidentally left a beer in my freezer, and it has frozen.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right? Like, it's not that weird.
They want really alcoholic beer.
I guess. They want vodka.
They do want vodka.
They said, we are British. Actually, give us rum. Give us... Oh, they're British. Give us gin.
They're British, yeah.
They said, gin for our days.
Mm.
They said, sir, do you make gin? He said, I'm German.
I'm German. I make beer.
I make beer, not gin. And they said... German, gin, same letter. Give it to us.
So they got mad that he didn't have gin, and they killed him.
That sucks.
Mm-hmm. So we don't really know what happened.
Right.
The assumption is that two British soldiers came and killed them. There were two men that
were... Was it him? Just him?
Oh, no, just him. Just him. His, like, wife and kid.
The boy.
His wife and kid. The boy, who knows? The boy was...
The boy is a different boy.
Maybe the boy killed him.
Maybe it was Sweeney Todd and the boy killed him.
Maybe.
But the wife and the kid are fine.
No, they're fine. They were like, I don't know, maybe sleeping upstairs or just like...
That's not ideal.
Out of town,
but as long as they're not dead, I guess.
They were fine.
Great.
So he... Something happened.
Yeah, dead.
He got killed.
Yeah.
Stories say that he was like chopped up and buried around the property.
Oh, no. That's not good.
That's
not good at all.
Afterwards, stories say that the only evidence that was found was that there was some blood at the bottom of the lighthouse steps.
That's why it's mysterious. Because they're like, all we know is there's a bunch of blood.
There's like, that's a lot of blood. This guy's dead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Two British soldiers were arrested at the time, but they were eventually acquitted.
Oh, dang.
I guess they couldn't find enough on them, so they were just like, all right, we can't hold you on this. We can't hang you for this. Later, about 100 years later, it's believed that his body or some of his body parts were found by George Dernan, who would later become the fourth lighthouse keeper, and his uncle Joe, who was
awful.
The keeper at the time. This family kept the lighthouse for like a real long-ass time after Radel Mueller was killed. So they say that they found a jawbone and fragments of a coffin nearby the lighthouse, which they figured was Radel Mueller's.
Yeah.
They
get it tested?
No.
What the heck?
They found it and were like, it's got to be his. So they reburied it.
Okay.
And they don't know where it is.
Oh, no. Note to self, when reburying anything... Nowhere.
You gotta mark it. Put a little grave marker. Put a little.
They were like, we'll do a solid. Oh no!
Yeah.
Wow.
So it is said that you can still hear the old lighthouse keeper moaning off in the distance on cold, dark nights.
Ew.
Or if you're in the lighthouse, you can hear his steps walking up the stairs.
I like that better. I don't like moaning.
You don't like moaning?
Just don't, like, it isn't doing it for me. That's too much. In the night?
Okay. Sir, no please. Moaning in the night for Carly.
No, please, sir. Stop.
People have also spotted the light of the lighthouse, even though it hasn't been lit since the 50s.
I love that. Oh. That's great. That's very good.
Okay, Carly likes
I like that a lot.
Lights that should not be lit, but no moaning.
No moaning.
Others say that they have seen blood on the lighthouse stairs where he died, and then it just, like,
goes away. Finishes. Ghost blood?
Classic ghost blood.
I love that shit.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Or they've seen a man beaten and bloody walking around the island.
I don't love that so much.
He also just disappears.
I don't love that, but I get it. I get it. I don't love it. I get it.
I also just final little note. I was writing this and just like sitting at my desk, and I kept getting like whiffs of kind of like fishy like smells, and I was like, either something weird is smelly outside, or ghost like smells.
Or the lighthouse said, yes, revisit this immediately.
The lighthouse was like, yes, we're gonna send our fishy lake smells up to you.
Yeah, we'll just waft through the city, tumbling and turning.
Yeah.
You know? So, like that feather at the end of Forrest Gump. Come to your window.
Yeah.
And deliver the smell
exactly
to you.
Exactly like that.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's Gibraltar Point Lighthouse. And woo! It's spooky, scary lighthouse ghost keeper.
Love it. Mm. Woo, Gibraltar Point Lighthouse! Hell yeah. Oh, I'm so glad you redid that one today, because I don't know why, but I secretly hoped you would. I think we haven't done a lighthouse in a while.
We haven't done a lighthouse
in a
while.
It's such a good one. Mm-hmm. People need to know.
The people need to know.
Didn't you know about that before? No! The people need to know.
Well, now they know.
Oh, now you know. You're welcome. I'm doing a place that's two places.
What does that mean?
Buckle in, baby! For the Elgin and Winter Garden Theater.
Two places, I see.
Two places in one. Mm-hmm. It's a twofer.
Classic.
Located in the heart of downtown, across from the Eaton Center, and in the hustle and beside HomeSense, sponsored. At 189 Yonge Street lies a building like none other in the world.
HomeSense?
I mean, no. That was beside HomeSense. Yeah. The Elgin and Winter Garden Theaters are the last surviving and operating double-decker Edwardian theaters in the entire world.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's like a special thing.
That was like a thing?
It's like a special thing. Yeah, man. Ooh. It's like pretty freaking cool.
Double-decker bus.
There's one right here in the city. The only one. Recognizable, I'm sure, by all of you because of its iconic marquee and teeny tiny ticket booth outside. It's so cute. The pair of theaters were built in 1913 by an entertainment titan, Marcus Lowe. Not the hardware store guy. Rather, the guy responsible for amalgamating and establishing MGM, as well as a substantial theater chain.
Is it like a low with an extra little E in there?
L-O-E dubs. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. It's the old-timey way. Mm. Yeah. It's a good one. The theaters were designed by Thomas W. Lamb, who designed the nearby Ed Murfish Theater, for all our theater babies in the audience. They were built to show vaudeville acts, they being the Elgin and Winter Garden, and silent movies of the era. The Elgin and Winter Garden were built in two incredibly different styles with the intention to cater to different patrons. So the Elgin, which you can find on street level, originally and simply was named Lowe's Young Street Theater, because it was where patrons could continuously see vaudeville acts and movies. Its gold and marble domed appearance paling in comparison to the exuberant upstairs Winter Garden, which was, and still is, designed to be a dreamy theatrical escape for wealthier patrons. Audiences sat beneath the stars, indoor, of course, as a building, but not outside, surrounded by murals and decor as if in a country garden, complete with tree trunks and lantern light, and like all of the like foliage dripping from the ceiling.
So is it still like it's the same now as it was back then?
Oh baby, yeah. It they so have, they've is. They've preserved it. They have preserved it so good, and I'll tell you why in just a bit. But like, to be fair, that one's like so beautiful, so fancy. But like, the Elgin is beautiful. It's like fancy as heck, also. But it was like but the it was like, just downstairs like, theater.
That's the regular.
That's
movie
the downstairs
theater.
One for the people. Mm. Upstairs one's for the rich people.
But that's, you know, back when like all movie theaters were fancy.
Yeah, of course. Like, yeah, like even the like run of the mill nothing, mm-hmm, theater is a fancy ass theater. Yeah. To what we know, we're just used to like 2 meters of blocks. You know, stone, nothing. That's what we're used to.
What theaters are you going to?
Sad ones! You would be so surprised how many theaters are just sad.
They're 2 meters of blocks. I think you're thinking of the Lighthouse.
Oh, the Lighthouse! I was thinking of the Lighthouse. Get them confused sometimes. Mm. The Upper Theater, the Winter Garden, could afford to be experimental in its vaudeville acts, as patrons could reserve spots for premium prices, and the Lower Theater would stay open and run crowd pleasers concurrently to rake in that turn of the century coin. So, like, the upstairs was, like, special and fancy because downstairs was the workhorse of the situation, mm-hmm, you know what I mean? But by 1928, the talkies were all the rage, not the snack, the movie. And the Lower Elgin was converted to show films with sound. So, the Upper Theater was closed. And the Winter Garden remained so for over 60 years.
Really?
It was closed for 60 years, which is banana town.
Did they water the trees?
They sure didn't, baby. They're not real.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I mean, in my heart, they're real, so I guess they're as real as can be. They don't need water, though. Meanwhile, the Elgin declined, and into the 70s showed mostly B-movies and even the raunchy stuff. Ooh. So it said, meow, you know, as movie theaters were wont to do. Eventually, though, everything was restored. The Winter Garden opened as well, and inside it, when they reopened it, was found the world's largest surviving collection of vaudeville flats and scenery.
Cool.
Because they just shut it in there with all the
shit.
They just
left everything in there.
They said, we don't need that. Mm. And then it was saved forever.
That's good.
Which is awesome. So that's why it's in such good condition. Because, yeah, I mean, they had to restore it, but, like, it was all there.
They just left it there? Yeah,
to,
they
like,
didn't,
you know,
tore it all down or
it
anything?
They didn't have to, like, buy shit back from people. Right. It was just, like, all in there. It was great. It's even been a host of TIFF since 1979, and today has been featured in many TV and movies, and continues to play host to all kinds of performing arts. Notably, in the 80s, before the restoration, there was a 2-year run of Cats, which, ooh, I thought you would be interested in knowing about.
Right.
The most successful pre-sales for a theatrical event in the country at the time.
Cats?
Cats, baby. The people said, more!
The rum-tum-tugger himself.
The rum-tum-tugger himself. He played on that stage. He tiptoed around that stage for 2 years. He said, I'm a curious cat.
Good for him.
I know. It's great. Fun fact, after that production, it was closed for restoration. Because that was kind of the tipping point of they realized, like, oh, like, this is a thing that we should probably invest in.
It smelled like cats.
Yeah, they said, actually, we gotta clean out this litter box. And, oh, after the production, it was closed for restoration. And this is way less to do with anything. I just need everyone to know this. One way the Winter Garden's delicate painted artwork was cleaned was using hundreds of pounds of raw bread dough.
What?
Why? How?
I don't know! There's so many more questions than answers! Hundreds of pounds of raw bread dough!
To do what?
To clean the delicate paintings in the Winter Garden. I don't know why.
Okay.
I don't know how. There was no other elaboration.
You didn't research this?
No, it was so disturbing. I didn't know what to do. I just needed to share it.
It was too much for you.
It's too much. I looked at it and I said, I need to know less.
Fair.
So thank you.
You needed to put the burden on the rest of us.
I didn't need to share this 100 pounds of raw bread dough load with you. It's too much. I can't get into it.
Was it like sourdough?
Just like hoping for the best.
Was it
like
whole wheat?
Do they bake? I can't. Do they bring it to a bakery? I can't. Okay, so who collab? Okay, I can't. The one thing the Ontario Heritage Trust, who owns the building, couldn't just clean out of those double-decker theaters? Say it with me.
Was it ghosts?
Ghosts! Ghosts, baby. Oh, shit. I gotta open this back up. Hold on. Please hold.
Hold for ghosts.
Got it. First, the Elgin. I'll just jump into the Elgin. Once, just after midnight, when a film crew had loaded out, because they film a lot of stuff there, the front of house manager, Lori, was doing her sweep before locking up when she heard a woman's voice call out her name. Lori, being in the salon just off the balcony, felt it was coming from the orchestra, but when she leaned over the edge of the balcony, she saw no one. She decided to check in with the security guard who was stationed at the stage door, the only other person in the building, but on the way to him, heard her name called again. She told no one, convinced herself that she was hearing things and just kind of went about her days, until a few months later, when she was approached by one of the ushers, supervisors, who reported having the exact same experience, down to the fact that they called their name twice. She was utterly freaked because she had shared her story with no one. And the thing that scared her the most is that it had happened to somebody else in the exact same way. In 1984, when they were doing that big production of Cats, Sandy just mentioned Cats for fun. I did mention Cats for fun, but it ties back in. A few onstage dancers noticed in rehearsal a man sitting in the second row wearing a brown suit with a matching brown bowler hat. Mm-hmm. They thought, that's odd. Which is saying something because they were people dressed like if Aerobics Jane Fonda and the MGM Lion had a baby. So they were like, that guy's dressed weird. The Rum Tum Tug is a curious cat. You know, that triangle is his fur. Did you get it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they're the what? They're not, you shouldn't call anybody out on their fashion, but they did. They're like, that's weird. And they noticed his clothes were old timey.
It's because he wasn't wearing spandex.
If he had just blended in, they wouldn't have noticed. Mm-hmm. But he couldn't. He didn't. And they thought he looked kind of old-timey and not dressed like he was a cat.
Nope.
Who's a person, you know. Mm-hmm. And they figured he'd been invited by the production team to sit in. They're like, ah, they probably let this. Like, he's probably a producer or something. He's a guy. Probably a weird art money guy. He's sitting here. He's cool. He's fine. And during notes, the castmates asked the assistant director about him. And he said, what? No one was here. Like usual, it had been a closed rehearsal. Mm. Just the director and the stage manager were watching rehearsal from the production table set up in the middle of the house with a perfect view of the stage and the second row.
He was like, didn't see anything?
Babe, no one's here. The cast was adamant they had seen a man. And so the assistant director said to them, okay, keep a lookout for him and let me know if you see him again, because if he wants to watch the show, he needs to pay for a ticket.
Ghost bucks.
Ghost bucks. They want those ghost bucks. Little do they know, ghost bucks don't work out here, as we have decided long ago on this podcast. Ghost money is different. The ghosts run the money. I won't get back into it. Okay. Now, for the Winter Garden. Soon after restorations and the reopening of the Winter Garden, in 1989, many volunteers and staff heard music while they were walking through the theater. They heard what sounded like a trombone or a trumpet. To be fair, sometimes sound comes into the theater from the rehearsal studios elsewhere in the building. Like if an opera singer is rehearsing, you can kind of sometimes hear it from the stage. But nobody was in the building rehearsing that day. There was nobody else there.
There wasn't a single trombone.
Not a single trombone for miles! No, there wasn't. Phantom trombone. Mm. And the studios there are, like, really nice. They're just, like, huge and kind of scary, but they're nice. Just thought I would say that. I haven't described them yet, so I just brought them up, and they're cute.
Described them as nice.
They're nice. They got windows. They got a piano. They got mirrors. Okay. Yeah, they're pretty legit. Okay. They're not as nice as here at Space Space Revolution in the Attic Studio, because this is affordable. We love. Shout out. Shout out to Vicky and the team. But the most famous of all the ghosts of the Winter Garden.
The ghost with the most.
Is the ghost with the most. And she's my girl. She was even featured in 2016 on a Canada Post commemorative stamp.
The ghost
was? The ghost was on a stamp.
Okay.
And she is called the Lavender Lady. Now some of our lighting makes sense now. It's a little bit lavendrous.
Ooh, lavendrous.
Yeah, I knew I was talking about the Lavender Lady today.
Lavender Lady for the Lavender Lady.
That's right. Gotta give her some her All lavender right. light. Give her her moment to shine.
All
right. Yeah, we love a woman in a color. It's classic.
We do.
It's classic. A ghostly staple of the Winter Garden, there's a few theories as to who she was in life. Possibly an actress caught up in a rivalry with a jealous castmate, or the jilted wife of a vaudeville showgirl admirer. Why those two things only, I have no clue. But those are what people think she might have been. And I go, okay. No matter who she was, then, now, there are always three things that occur when she makes herself known. She's mostly witnessed in the area of the grand staircase and the elevators. So, when she's around, the temperature drops, and witnesses express the feeling of a cold breeze moving through them.
Do you feel a cold breeze running through you?
No, but I said three things and I wrote two. So maybe the third one is memory loss? Inability to write your own story, Carly Billings? Give me a second.
Did she come in? She came and she stole the third thing. She
said, no! You will not reveal my calling cards to them today on your podcast. Cold breeze. And then I went, lastly. No, we're last sick of one. He's old. Oh, no.
Is that something about her being lavender?
That's coming up. Hold on. That's the part I do have.
Is she lavender in color, or does she, like, smell like lavender?
You ruined it. She smells like lavender.
Yeah.
We don't always get a lady with a color and a smell.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
All right. Scented ghost.
Okay, lastly, a faint smell of lavender fills the air. Oh, no. Okay. An example of one of these encounters happened one day when the theater's production manager was taking clients through the Winter Garden and down the grand staircase to the Elgin. As she led them down to the landing, she felt the temperature drop, and she could smell flowers in the air.
Was it lavender?
She smelled. Yeah. Afraid if she turned to face the group that she would see something, rather someone. She didn't wish to. Among the group, she ignored the sensations, and they passed, no one else commenting on it. Sometimes other weirdness occurs in the heritage elevators that go between the Winter Garden and the Elgin. Maybe this is the third one. This is the third one. They date from the building's opening, the elevators, and are still operated manually. So they're, like, real old school.
They aren't upgraded at all? They're
not just those ones specifically. Oh. They have other regular ones in the building. I've been on only those ones. I haven't been in this one, but now I'm going to make it my mission to ask someone to take me on it. Because that sounds really fun. During shows, ushers operate them to move patrons from the Elgin balcony to the upstairs Winter Garden. Because the Elgin balcony is on street level. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, an usher will be inside the elevator when it is called up to the Winter Garden, only for them to arrive and open the gate to no one being there. Weirdest It always happens when there are no shows booked at the Winter Garden. A cool breeze and lavender wafts into the elevator car. The ushers are used to it and take our gal for that good, good elevator ride. And you can take a virtual tour.
Ooh.
If you haven't been there, if you're listening from afar, you can take a virtual tour of the Elgin and the Winter Garden on heritagetrust.on.ca, which is where I got all of this information from, which we love. Come on, Heritage Trust, loving the ghosts in their building.
Thanks, Ontario Government.
We love that. Or you can visit for yourselves, everyone here, in person, to see all kinds of shows, like opera, comedy, music theater. Pete Davidson is coming in November.
Oh.
Maybe that's something people want to see.
Dance and more. Comedy and then Pete Davidson.
Yeah, it's a different genre. It's its own thing. I looked at the schedule and I was like, what do people need to know about? Just
the
Pete
most
Davidson.
Important thing.
Pete Davidson, that's it. And I got my info from Wikipedia and from heritagetrust.on.ca
wow,
today.
Spooky.
And that, my friends, is the Elgin and Winter Garden Theater. I don't know about you, but we've been sitting for a long time. Do you mind if we just take a little bit of a stretch? You're welcome to stretch with us. Do you want to take a stretch?
Yeah, stretch.
Okay, Mash good. Surprise, mash is always good. But you know what's arguably even gooder?
I don't.
Not gouda.
Gooder.
Like, what's very good, but even more gooder? Our guest we have today! Entree.
See.
You may join.
Everybody, please welcome to the Ghost of Everywhere podcast stage, Brittany Ray.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome to the podcast.
I feel like I should kick things off just returning to the Gibraltar Point,
yes,
Lighthouse,
please.
Phantom. I do think I should apologize because the aforementioned moaning in the night was me.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah,
I don't mind.
No, that's fine.
I was worried based on your reaction.
Yeah,
yeah.
If it's
no.
You, I don't mind.
Yeah.
You're wearing such a fabulous hat. We should probably redon our
return to the hat.
I don't know. Y'all look great and campy and fun, and I look like I was costumed for American Horror Story Coven, and I'm not entirely thrilled about it.
Why? And there's a problem where?
Well, it's just in that it's not cohesive, and given the option, I'd rather be fun and look like a member of the coven of Winifred Sanderson, not of, what was Jessica Lange's character's name?
Jessica Lange.
Fiona.
Impossible.
Bad
to
bitch.
Know.
Nelson. Like, just.
Yeah.
Just
yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. Hi, Brett.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us. Brett bought us these beautiful mugs.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that so sweet?
That is a little gift.
Wow. Brett
that's
was
so
your
kind.
Sweetest guest.
Yes.
Ha ha.
And there
it,
are some
else.
Previous guests.
Yeah, right. Take
so
that.
So sorry.
Our previous guests.
Those fighting words.
In your face, Patrick.
Brett, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what do
you're,
you want to know?
You're
like,
arguably, and not even arguably, you're probably the most qualified guest we've ever had on this podcast.
Yeah.
Well, okay, let's tell the kids at home how we met.
Yeah,
you and I.
How you and I met.
Yeah.
We met doing a very queer production of Into the Woods.
Yeah.
In which we formed the PTA.
That's right.
Because.
That's right.
You played Jack's mother and Cinderella's stepmother, both parents, and I played the witch, Cinderella's mother, not to be mistaken for the stepmother.
No, not to be mistaken.
I was a tree ghost.
Yeah, different vibes.
And Granny, Little Red's Granny. Yeah. So hence, we were the parents. We were the PTA.
Did you say the witch yet, or
did I say the witch?
I don't know if you did.
I think you said the witch first.
I was gonna say it's not
I missed
like,
it.
Oh yeah, no,
can you say it again, just for me?
The witch. Like just.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You were amazing.
You were amazing.
And this is a fun story of the first day I remember meeting you, which was our read-through day. We all sat like in a semicircle or circle as you do at tables, and you do your read-through of your show. It was my first ever Sondheim and my first musical in like probably 5 years professionally, so that was pretty bananas. And we were reading through, and we were across the circle from one another. We weren't close by.
I wanted to be next to you. I did. No, that's a true thing. I came into that room and thought, I'm going to make zero friends except for this person. And so because that's I couldn't so sit beside you, I sat across from you.
And
that was deliberate.
You opened your mouth and you went, I just want to sit next to Brent. And then we sat next to each other for
the rest of rehearsal.
As we are now.
Yes, we are right now.
Right now.
We're back together again.
Reunited.
Feels so good.
Yes, always good. So you're a person of many talents. That's all I was trying to get
at. I do a couple things, you know?
And you do very well. Some people don't even get that.
I know two things. I just know them very well. We met doing theater.
Yeah.
In the rest of my life, I work as a psychic and tarot reader, and witchcraft and occultism is kind of my main gig, you know? The only reason I didn't pursue that, you know, on an academic level is because last I checked there weren't, you know, any degrees for professional witchcraft, you know? But we made it happen anyway.
Yes, we persevere, baby! Steely, do you want to start us off with our first question?
So, because this is a ghost podcast, we wanted to ask you the most important question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is, do you believe in ghosts?
Yes. Yes, I did. Yes, I do.
Yes, you did?
Well, no, sorry. I had a little conversation with my head, and where that came from was that I believed in ghosts even before I started to hear them, interact with them, relay messages from them, etc. I was always like, oh yeah, that's for sure. For sure consciousness extends past the dirt nap, you know? And and then eventually they were like, hey, and I was like, oh, cool, great.
Hello.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you kind of already elaborated a little on this, and I mean, by nature of what you do, yeah. The next question is, in what capacity? So like philosophically, concretely, like there's lots of ways that people do or don't believe in things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's it for you?
Yeah, I guess if we're talking about my my concrete interactions with the dead or the way that I've experienced them, I've never witnessed a phantasm or an apparition or anything to that effect, nor have I witnessed any poltergeist activity or anything like that, but it's on the bucket list. I would love to see an object thrown across a room. So if any of y'all are listening...
Anyone who would like to throw this mug?
Yeah.
This mug only.
This one's
new.
Not
that one. These ones are metal. These
and
ones
this
can
cost
fly.
Me like a solid
$8. So, throw this one. It's made of metal.
So all that to say, yeah, would love to experience that kind of thing. But most of my experiences are, I mean, I describe them as auditory because it's not the experience of hearing something, it's the experience of having heard something where some, you know, it kind of pops into your head and you go, oh, that's not a piece of information that I thought I knew. Did I make that up? Where is that coming from? And then you share it with the person across the table who hired you for a tarot reading. Very relatable experience. And they start crying. And that's how you know that, like, okay, yeah, so there was something valuable about Bundt cake, you know? And
there's always something valuable about Bundt cake.
And I mentioned Bundt cake because I think that was one of the first, like, oh, I can do this experiences with somebody asking me to get in touch with a grandfather of theirs and, you know, being very new to, you know, to calling myself a psychic or a medium or whatever, you know, and kind of going, like, warning them, like, okay, I can try, I can do my best, etc. They were like, no, it's okay, like, if whatever you get, and I kind of closed my eyes, I was like, I keep feeling or picturing or hearing something about bundt cake, and this person burst into tears and was like, I made him a blueberry bundt cake every year on his birthday, which was yesterday, and I was like, oh, okay, great, cool, well, then,
okay,
nice,
sure.
Okay,
that, you got something.
Thank you, you know?
there's water.
We did bother arguing. Did I answer the question at all?
Auditorily
is how I process. Mm-hmm. They give me information, they don't give me a lot of theatrics. I would love more theatrics, frankly. Like, yeah.
Excuse me, Eddie, you know, like, designers in the ghost realm, Brett would like some more theatrics.
I mean, I think I should just go to the Elgin and Winter Garden.
Yeah, apparently.
Like,
apparently.
It sounds
apparently.
Like
they have some theatrics.
That's it. That's the place.
A lot of smells.
Yeah.
Smell.
We love
the
an olfactory experience,
yes.
You know?
Spooky smell.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you mentioned you haven't really seen anything. It's more just, like, kind of hearing and sensing.
Yeah.
So do you have any very, like, any specific paranormal experiences that you can, like, think of?
I mean, it's hard because a lot of it kind of comes through other people, you know?
Yeah.
My dad have been very quiet. Well, you know, comparatively quiet, you know? I'm trying to think. I mean, the first one that comes to mind... bummer story alert, get ready. No, it's not. It's very sweet. But I had a wonderful, like, best person I've ever known, good friend who passed away in 2020. And she was amazing. I could tell you incredible things about her as a psychic, although she kind of, like, avoided that word, you know? But anyway, she was fantastic. And so when she passed away, you know, I found out there was a whole thing. It was very sweet. I was in her will. I didn't expect that. It was a whole thing. There came a point a few weeks after where I had, I had a dream about her kind of thing. And it was just, it sounds so cliche to say, like, it wasn't like any other dream. It was so tangible. It was so real. But it was. It was probably the only time in my life I've had, like, a confusing experience upon waking up. You know, most of the time I'm pretty good about, like, oh, whoop, okay, that was a dream. You know, I'm awake now. And that was very much like, I need to touch something, feel something, make sure my reality is intact, just because it was very present, you know? And so that's the first one that comes to my mind is Frankie. And she was wonderful.
That's nice.
Actually, it's not really a ghost story, but I do have a fun, spooky story about Frankie.
Oh, yes, of course.
So I know, Carly, I know you're familiar with Ms. Lori Cabot, the official witch of Salem. So in 2019, I took a trip to Salem with a friend of mine, and I was determined. I was going to get a reading from Lori Cabot. It was going to happen. I went online. She was booked solidly 2 months in advance, and I was bummed. And then I remembered, oh yeah, Brett, you do sorcery. I cast my little spell, I did my little charm, and I successfully managed to boot somebody out of the slot that I wanted.
As you should.
2:30 p.m. on Saturday, November 9th, 2019. Yay. And that spot was mine, and I was very excited about this for multiple reasons. And I called Frankie immediately and said, you know, like, I got the spot, I did the thing, you know, and she says, I think, like, you're going to sit down and she's going to say something, just, I feel like I've known you, kind of thing. And I was like, Frankie, don't get me excited. You're really setting the bar high here. Anyway, cut to me in this tiny little shop in Salem by the waterfront, waiting for my turn to go see Lori Cabot. And I get in there and she's this, you know, this cadaver of a woman in voluminous black robes sitting behind a giant desk that has, you know, astrological symbols carved into it. It's a, you know, I sit down and say, you know, like, it's such a pleasure to meet you. And she says, you too. I feel like I've known you. And I'm sitting there going, the most important part of this wasn't supposed to be what Frankie said. I paid for this reading, you know? Anyway, but yeah, so fun, spooky things about Frankie. She just knew what was going to happen. I was pissed, you know? Yeah, that's it. Like,
sure.
Damn, I'm trying to enjoy this reading, and instead I'm going like, Frankie said this, Frankie said this, Frankie said this. I get to see Frankie for free. What the fuck? Yeah.
So you mentioned that even before you started working in the work you do, that you like already believed in ghosts.
Yeah.
So like, when were you first introduced to the idea of ghosts, or do you remember what started it all?
I mean, okay, when it comes to the occult, the paranormal, it's witchcraft started it all. I didn't give a flying fuck about ghosts. Am I allowed to swear on this podcast?
You can go for it.
I didn't give a flying fuck about ghosts until I got into witchcraft, and my introduction to that was Disney. I saw Maleficent barge into a baby's birthday party, ruin everyone with a prophecy of death, and I said, I want to be that when I grow up. And that eventually led to, like, you know, interest in the paranormal and specifically life after death. So I grew up in a lazy Catholic household kind of thing, in that my father is an atheist who went through the motions, and my mother didn't really care what I thought as long as I wasn't, you know, completely without faith, because I know that, you know, that faith in something, anything, has been important and informative to her, though she doesn't really follow a Christian modality. All that to say that, you know, when the subject of what happens when we die came up, and I was in kindergarten, I remembered, and I'll tell you why I remember, Mummy explained, well, you know, like, we all go to heaven, and we hang out with God, and bad people go to a bad place. And I was like, what's the bad place? Tell me more about that. At which point my mother explained hell and then told me that's a swear word. We're not allowed to say that kind of thing. So I took this information and I was like, okay, good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell. And I made a list of the people in my class. Of the ones I thought would go to heaven and the ones I thought would go to hell. And I remember because first of all, it got confiscated, and secondly, there was only one person on my hell list, which was Samantha Campbell, because she was mean. So all that to say, that's when I started thinking about or processing ideas of life after death and what happens when we vacate our bodies and what have you. And I did genuinely believe in that. I've always been a person who kind of thinks that, you know, we mere mortals are never going to grasp the entirety of all there is to know, and we just kind of have to accept that after a certain point. Where was I going with this?
Yeah, what started it all, apparently.
Yeah, what started it all?
The hell list.
Yeah, the hell list. Samantha
Campbell.
I love
that. Samantha Campbell hell list.
Shout out. I hope she's well. Yeah, I'm sure she got better.
See you in hell, Samantha Campbell. That's it. That or we got worse.
That's where I got involved with this. I haven't thought, though. Like, I was always a person who was like, I believe there's more. I don't think we have all the answers. It doesn't make sense to me that in a world where a consciousness the like of ours exists, that there's simply a finality or a cosmic accident behind it all kind of thing. I was like, no. It feels like there's orchestration at work. So that was thing number one. Thing number two, I could not cope with the idea of vanishing entirely from existence. So I was like, no, I believe in ghosts, because to do anything else will have me catatonic through my day kind of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess the unwillingness to die fueled my belief in ghosts.
I love that your belief in ghosts is very hopeful.
Yeah,
like, yeah. I live in ghosts because I hate it. Like, that's what we get a lot on this podcast.
Yeah.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, it's really. I think
some
like,
fear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe not a lot, but we definitely have had a few people
more
be
than
like,
once.
Be like, I believe in ghosts because I'm afraid of them.
Yeah, so I
don't
believe in them.
And I don't want them to come near me.
Come one, come all, my house is a safe space.
So the ghosts that run away from everyone else can go visit them.
Yeah, come. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's so nice. I don't know, I think we're pretty hopeful people. Like, we've been doing this podcast for, it'll be 5 years on Halloween this year. So, like, we wouldn't keep telling these stories if we didn't find, you know, like, hope or joy or community in them. And I think, like, yeah, most people don't see that, but it's nice when...
Also consider, like, you know, if, like, ghosts, by their definition, by our understanding of them, had to be human once. So the shit we see them pulling, we get to do that if we want. That's fun. Like,
that is pretty fun.
I mean, I have a little bit of a mischievous imp in me, and I'm ready to play with some faucets, you know?
You're gonna go full poser, guys.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Get ready. There shall be no ectoplasm thicker than mine. Ew.
I believe that.
I'm so sorry.
The moaning in the night was already
right? We started off for me.
Well, I meant spooky moaning, not like...
I'm
very alone, Carly.
Only spooky moaning.
I don't know, it's near Hamlin's.
Jury's still out.
To you, like, what makes a ghost? Is it, like, a person in the beyond?
I think it has to, I believe in and, you know, interact with or engage with a multitude of different spirits, some of which I claim to know more about than others. But I think that when we talk about ghosts, the implication is the lingering consciousness of a once human person who has died X number of years ago, you know? And
Because we've done ghost houses on this podcast before, so we like to ask what people think are ghosts, because we don't know anymore.
Oh, okay.
To be fair and frank.
But also, there's people who say they believe in, like, ghosts, but then, like, there's demons.
Oh, yeah, they're more scared
of
demons.
Yeah.
Ghosts that aren't necessarily, like, the ghosts of people.
Yeah. Sure. Or people are like, it's Ebenezer Scrooge in the night. Like, there's, like, no in between we're finding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's...
I guess.
I mean, the other thing is that, like, again, like, the, you know, when we start talking about this realm, empiricism hides behind the door, you know? There's we don't know, we're never gonna know, you know? We only have subjective experience to go off of, and with very little concretizing data in the interim. So it's mostly a matter of opinion as far as I'm concerned. But talking about demons, you know, and the idea of evil spirits or evil immortal entities that never were human, or at least that's how I define them, as creatures that never were human. When we look at, you know, known demonic texts, you know, the Lesser Key of Solomon, the Ars Gotia, these lists of the princes and dukes and nobles that, you know, that rule the abyss, we can also usually track them to gods or, deities that eventually were demonized and their names they were once the enemy of what became the ruling dominant religious class. And so Asmodeus the deity becomes forgotten in lieu of Asmodeus the demon, kind of thing. So that's it. Like, I'm not settled in what my belief is insofar as inherently evil or demonic spirits is concerned. I go back and forth. I talk about this with myself at night, because why wouldn't I? You can't just moan, you know? I don't know if there's such thing as a purely evil entity, you know? I have trouble wrapping my head around that.
Mm-hmm. I have trouble wrapping my head around absolutes in general.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. So, this is a fun one. This question is twofold. It's a double-decker, much like the Elgin and Lord Garden.
Okay.
What kind of proof would you need to believe in completely, like, all the way, 100%, no doubt, ghosts, or disbelief. So there's two camps.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, disbelief is harder for me.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Of course, you know, we can believe in something, but belief is belief. It is faith-based. Mm-hmm. So even though I am a person who, hears the dead, passes on messages, I would say I'm like at the 96th percentile of the belief spectrum. There's always a little bit of doubt. There's always a little bit of the fact that we can't know. No, I think what might push that percentile up to like the 99th is the apparition. Hint, hint.
Yes. You know? Someone show themselves to Brad.
Yes. Yeah. I like visual confirmation. Yeah. I like to see someone jaw gone, bleeding in the doorway.
Yes. Right now. Real gnarly.
Didn't happen. Right now. Alas. I thought we would catch him off guard, you know.
Oh, what is that?
That's a ghost.
I know.
There's a blow-up ghost by the door. For our listeners at home.
It's very spooky.
It's really scary. It's really scary. What would it take to disbelieve? Like, to undo it all?
This is morbid.
Yeah, sure.
I think the only moment that, like, off the top of my head that might bring about disbelief is... as I exit this world kind of thing, if I can feel things shutting down in a way where it feels like, yeah, I'm gone, I'm going kind of thing, that's the moment where I might be, oh, I was wrong. Okay, bye.
Like, oh, yeah. Oh,
I'm in it. Yeah. No longer matters.
Yeah, the classic oh, ah.
Yeah, the classic oh, ah, you know?
Oh, ah.
Yeah, gotcha. I guess it's done.
I hope that I'm thinking of other things, you know, and surrounded by loved ones, there's other distractions, so that even if I am having that experience, it's not dominating it, but you know what? Who knows?
That's fair. Yeah. That's totally fair.
Yeah.
Do you have any favorite spooky places?
Ooh. I mean, like New Orleans is the place I love most in this world that I've been to in recent years, and it's, you know, it's so steeped in occultism and in ghostly ghost stories, ghostly life, that kind of thing. So it's I think that would be my answer. I realize it's a whole city that we're kind of speaking to.
It's but a good one. Yeah,
that's
good. You know,
that's
a good one. Why narrow it down when it's
that's it? You know, because that's I can't think of like there's that one creepy shack that everyone says is haunted. I don't really have that, you know. Yeah. But I'm like, oh yeah, New Orleans. Yeah. That, you know, like just good riddled answer. With specters.
Got everything. And Cage's pyramid. What more do you want?
And you can drink in the street.
And you can it's perfect.
Yeah.
It really is
great.
A perfect place. That's fair. That's fair and true. Love that. Do you have any fave spooky like media, movies, shows, music, thing, or books people should know about that you love that people should know?
Ooh, books. Books I can do. I love We Have Always Lived in the Castle by Shirley Jackson, which I realize is more psychological thriller horror than it is, you know, spooky horror, but there's that
diagram
one.
Is a circle, baby.
Yeah, it's exactly.
that's spooky.
Yeah, it is, but you know, it leaves you a little chilled, a little freaked out. Yeah. There's a book I read years ago called Fiend that was a zombie apocalypse story. With the catch or the twist being that all of the protagonists were heroin addicts, and that somehow this prevented them from contracting the zombie virus in this world, and so they had to be stoned forever. You know, was kind of the idea. That one was good and unsettling. I was kind of late. Despite liking ghosts and the occult and what have you, or maybe because of this, I struggled with horror movies until like probably 6-7 years ago.
Me too, though.
You know, it was rough going. I couldn't do it. It was a little too real. You know,
like, I'm not a big gore girl, and I thought everything was Saw.
Yeah, exactly.
So I didn't love it.
No, I'm not interested in that. Mm. But,
well, but now I do. Now I'm like, oh, almost nothing is Saw. Look at this whole world of movies.
I mean, there are a lot of Saw movies.
That's true. But
are they making isn't there one coming out?
Like, okay, it's back.
But no,
we'll avert our eyes.
But that's I'm with you. Like, Saw, I'm not interested in. Yeah. But like, you know, the others, Nicole Kidman is a great one that is a favorite. The Skeleton Key that came out however many years ago. Do we know the Skeleton Key?
No.
Oh. Who was in it? I'm trying to remember. Kate Hudson. Thank you, Nikki. Kate Hudson was in it. So here's the thing. I don't know any pop culture
fans. You don't need to.
I don't because Nikki's here, and she will whisper it to me.
Oh, Nikki! Nikki, the keeper of all of Red Pop Culture and many more things. We love
so it's with Kate Hudson. It's based in New Orleans.
Yes.
It's a and it's this, you know, creepy hoodoo magic ghost story.
That's
kind
cool.
of thing.
Oh, cool.
that draws on actual hoodoo practices and hoodoo lore and, you know, folk magic of that region kind of thing. So for that reason, I'm like 10 out of 10. Excellent. Good job.
Love
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Love that. Is there anything else you wanted to say? Like, is there anything you were like, I didn't say this today and I need to tell them?
I mean, I don't know about say, but like, I thought, it, I mean, obviously I knew the tarot thing was going to come up.
Yeah,
so
let's talk about
I brought my cards just in case y'all wanted like a quick little reading before we go. I thought that's something maybe I can do that other people might not. If
100%
you're,
that's
let's
something
do,
you
let's
can
do.
Marvelous.
Let's do a live tarot reading.
Fantastic. Okay, so with that, who's going first, Cecilia or Carly?
Should we do
what?
I was just gonna point you.
You're just gonna point me. Okay, fine.
No. I want to know what you were gonna say.
I was saying, should we do a podcast reading for the both
Ooh.
Of us for our for
Wanna,
us?
Yeah, use the
okay.
the podcast as sort
let's
of our vehicle.
Let's do it. Yeah, let's
okay.
let's do.
Let's do it first.
Is there anything in particular
for our
about,
for our marriage for our relationship?
This did feel like our wedding today.
This is our wedding.
We have family on one side and friends sitting on the other for some reason.
Yeah.
It really was getting
really
yeah.
split up.
We have such a modern marriage. Our family is one family on this side. Friends are over here. Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Talk amongst yourselves. This will be
for
a minute.
thinking about it.
Brett's doing a little think.
Brett's doing
about the podcast and about us. That's nice.
About our wonderful friends and family.
Cups, Champions, Two Pentacles. Yeah. Okay. So, for all of our listeners, we got the Three of Cups, which is typically emblematic of camaraderie, friendship, celebration,
okay.
that kind of thing. So that's lovely. We have the Ten of Pentacles reversed. So when we talk, pentacles are a funny one in tarot. And I'm going to drop a little tarot trivia
yes.
on you.
Yes.
So. Tarot and playing cards have a common ancestor, but as they kind of migrated from the Far East along trade routes through the Middle East and eventually landed in Europe, things change and morph and what have you. So the Taroki deck, which evolved into the tarot deck we know today, had the suit of coins, you know, which dealt with money and home and wealth and stability and that kind of thing. And then a bunch of British magicians got their hands on it and said, not spooky enough, put a star on it. And that's how we ended up with pentacles, which are just sort of this like blanket nebulous pagan spiritual symbol that have been used for so many things that as far as I'm concerned, it's basically lost all meaning kind of thing. But that being said, when we're talking about pentacles in tarot, we're using the coin symbol, you know, the coin symbology of stability and practicality and money and the concrete kind of thing. So with our Ten of Pentacles center here, that would kind of talk about dynasty, hierarchy, network, the building of the boardroom in many ways, or like the advancement or construction of one's career goals or what have you. So not unfitting. We'll talk about the reversal in a sec. And then on the other side, we have the Two of Pentacles, which talks about struggling between a couple choices or imbalance or trying to get our feet on the ground kind of thing. You know, it's a little bit of a growing pains thing. So my inkling, both through one vibes and two looking at what's on the table, is, you know, we start over here with this beautiful story of like friendship coming together, etc. My feeling is, I'm feeling like kind of like a burst leading up to like a temporary grand finale is my feeling kind of thing. I feel like an upward slope and then kind of a, I would feel a hiatus or I would feel like a parting in some way. My instinct is that one of you, I shan't say whom, might be moving at some point or going away. I think there might be a change in your living situation that puts a little bit of physical distance that then causes maybe like some scheduling complications or something to that effect is kind of my inkling on it. And that being said, I feel, again, it feels to me like a hiatus. I do think that this will, like, as long as you want this to happen, this can continue to happen. It just feels to me like there might be more hurdles or other things that need to be negotiated beyond the normal schedule of what we're working with. So that's what I got for the podcast. Make of that what you will.
Thank you.
Grant's good at his job.
Mm. Am I good at my job? Did I get some?
I don't know. We'll see. Only time will tell.
Okay.
Yay! Well. We've done it all.
Almost.
We came into the attic. We said, hello, everyone. We said some stories. We had some water. Talked about ghosts. Had some tarot. What? First time on the podcast, we read tarot. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Is it right? Yeah, I think so.
I think so. We've had tarot cards in the room.
Around. It's not the same. Not the same. Yeah.
It's kind of the same.
No. Professional tarot.
We had us pulling out a card and being like, I don't know.
Okay.
That's how we do tarot. So, well, that's pretty. That's nice.
Yeah, I was like, this one looks nice.
You know, it comes with a little book usually, right? Like, if you're really out of loss.
I can't read.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm
making assumptions.
Yeah, and all of us can read books. Like, some of us have podcasts. We just have one thing to say. And it's not you better work. Sorry, I just set that up like it was I was RuPaul. I didn't mean to. I said it exactly that way. I didn't mean to. I take it again. There's just one more question for you.
Sure.
We ask it to one another at the end of every podcast, live or not, as long as we remember to. I'm going to ask you first.
Okay.
And then we'll ask each other.
Yeah.
Do you want to do the honors?
Have you seen any ghosts lately?
No. Seen? No.
Yeah. Specifically seen.
Have you seen with your eyeballs?
No. Heard yesterday. Seen? No.
All right. That's
fair.
Better than we usually get.
That's only because I was working yesterday. So, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Carly?
Yes.
Have you seen any ghosts lately?
I'm looking at a blow-up one. I don't think that counts.
No.
Then no.
I'm going to say no.
I want to say yes. I've never been able to answer this question with yes. So, no. Celia?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen any ghosts lately?
Just the ones all over your dress.
Just the ones on my dress. Ew. Let's hear it for the dress. Some promotion for the dress.
Yeah. Shout out to the dress.
Do you want them to know?
Yeah, you know, if you want, like, it's fine over there. Yeah, if you really want to find me, my Instagram handle is swampcrone, swamp.crone. You know,
as it should be.
Yeah, you know. dress for the job you want.
That's right.
And,
that's what I say.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's where y'all can find me, and. Yeah, nowhere else. Don't look for me.
Don't look for Brett. Brett doesn't want you to look for him.
Do not seek him out.
Except on Instagram.
And look up on Instagram. That's enough.
Yeah. And yeah, if you want to, if you want to invite me to a party, I'm going to leave early, but I like getting invitations.
We love a slow down. Well, it's about time for you to get out there and moan. It's nighttime.
Oh.
So,
what time is it?
Yeah, it's 9.
Oh,
yeah,
gods,
right?
We gotta go.
It's time.
Yeah.
We gotta get out of here.
Thank you so much for joining us, Toronto.
Thank you for coming.
We've been Costa River. You've been great. We love you. And we will see you next week.
Bye.
Goodbye. Oh my gosh, everyone, boo Cecilia for not having Garage Band open.